This is Speaking of Anthropology here on KSUA 91.5 FM Fairbanks. It's a beautiful Friday, and we're having another wonderful show. My name is Kevin.
My name is Dylan. And yeah, we're back, and we are back for our traditional sort of format of the interview. So joining us today for this wonderful episode, the first episode of June, 4th of June, 2021, is Audra Darcy, who just completed her master's in anthropology here at UAF. So welcome to the show, Audra.
Hey Dylan, hey Kevin, thanks for having me. I'm really glad to be here. And as you said, I just finishing my master's still, but almost there. Almost there.
Congratulations on that.
Thanks. It's a long time coming at this point.
Yeah, so just to maybe start off a little bit, if you wouldn't mind telling the listeners what specifically you have been working on for that. So what is your area of interest in anthropology, and what has that been looking like for you?
Yeah, so my area of anthropology is archaeology. That's what my training background is in, but more specifically, I'm leaning more towards paleoecology now. So my background really is more in understanding what the conditions were like for people rather than what people were actually doing. I think that's always a part of it, but I'm usually more interested in what the environment was like, reconstructing the environment, and just really figuring out what the environment and climate and ecology was like for people through time. And my time period really is from the last ice age until the present, but more like ice age to 6,000 years ago. So that was part of my thesis where I used pollen to reconstruct the vegetation since then in interior Alaska, and then tried to use that, well, did use that as a proxy to understand how the changes in fauna would have affected people, specifically in the Tangle Lakes. It's a very broad nutshell.
I think definitely an interesting eggshell to talk about. So you've mentioned a little bit about your work with paleoecology, archaeology, and of course you're at UAF. So maybe you could tell us a little bit about why and what you do here at UAF specifically. Maybe some of the courses that you took, that you really remember, and we don't have to do favorites on the show today. It's okay. Some faculty may be listening, but if you could tell us a little bit about that.
Sure. So I've always been interested in anthropology, and I had a lot of opportunities to go to high latitude northern environments. I always really liked glaciers and things like that and mountains. And so the environment itself really interested me, and that was a big draw to work in Alaska. I think that's what really pulled me up to Fairbanks, was just working in that type of environment. And I just thought the prehistory was really fascinating because you get to work with the large concepts of who were the first people in North America and in the Americas. And that's just a really fascinating and controversial topic, but it's a really fun one. And so I'm really excited to be a part of that discussion now. So that was the big draw. I've always been interested in that. And UAF is really, I mean, the anthropology department is the best in circumpolar research, in my opinion, and the focus is there. So the archaeology program, it was just perfect for me to explore that topic. And in terms of courses that I've taken, because I do paleo and interdisciplinary, so that's been one of the really amazing things is I've been able to branch out into geosciences and botany, primarily just because that's what my topic is about. But yeah, I've been able to do a lot of other things. And even in my undergrad, I was able to do that. I didn't do my undergrad at UAF, but I've always been interested in those interdisciplinary types of topics, and I got to do more of that. So I took things like Ice Age Alaska, which is really the history of Alaska's prehistory, specifically from the Ice Age. I took botany, which really gave me a good background in what types of plants and their interactions in Alaska. And then I took a lot of archaeology-based courses just because it is the archaeology program. So that was a lot of what I did here. I'm trying to think if there was anything else. I think that covers most of it though.
Good plethora of stuff then. And I will say too, one of the interesting things that you've already sort of brought up and that we've heard from other archaeologists and folks in the field on the show before is archaeology as in something that's very interdisciplinary, or it's occurring in very interdisciplinary context, right? So, you know, archaeology working with geosciences and ecology and those sorts of things. And I find that very interesting because it seems like maybe the archaeologists are better at doing interdisciplinary work than maybe some of the other groups of anthropologists, like, you know, the cultural anthropology that Kevin and I lean more towards. But so I'm kind of curious as to how you found that whole experience of that interdisciplinary work in sort of being an archaeologist, but who is also, you know, not strictly confined to maybe the very narrow traditional idea of archaeology is just specifically digging up things from people long ago and that's it, and letting the geologists do their own thing, you know, but instead kind of having it be a little more unified. So what's that been like for you?
Yeah, I think you kind of hit the nail on the head. I don't know if we'd necessarily do it better because archaeology, I think the big thing about archaeology is we often say that we borrow from other disciplines and we borrow methods from other disciplines because we need to use tools from geology, ecology, botany, because you need that to study the human experience. And that's really what anthropology is about, right? It's studying the human experience and we're just studying it from the past. So I need to use things from geology to answer the questions about the environment and things like that. And it's always interesting because what that allows you to then do, or it's sort of the, I always find it a kind of a gift, is that I'm able to talk to other scientists in these other fields who are very specific in geology, and you can always bring that human element to it, because I think we're always trying to find ways to connect to humanity, and anthropology allows you to bridge those things together in really creative and unique ways. And archaeology specifically, because you're looking at the past, you have to get really creative about how you study it, because it's often not well preserved, the data sets that you work with, or it's very limited. So you have to find ways to answer questions and new ways of answering questions. So you often have to talk to a bunch of specialists in order to do that. And I always really find that interesting. Because I get to learn a whole bunch of new skill sets that I use over and over and over again. I don't know how cultural anthropology works in answering some of those ecology environmental questions. That's not a realm I've dipped into, but we do also use cultural anthropology as frames of reference from the human side too. So even within anthropology, archaeologists borrow cultural frameworks. You have to bring the cultural side and the scientific archaeology, geology things together. So it's really neat to be able to talk about the present, to inform me about the past, and then use the past, then inform me about the present. Is really, that's what I love about archaeology. I think that's really special.
Yeah, you bring up the good point of, and we've said this many times on our show, of what is, well, we'll ask you that question later, I'll save it, but, you know, what is anthropology? But, like, it's the past and the present. You've kind of given, like, a semi-definition that we've heard through our data collection here on our show through the years. Just a year and a half. But I think, you know, there's some, you know, you bring up the point about interdisciplinary, and maybe, you know, this is just a tangent from what our questions are, but kind of a conversation that I've heard consistently here on campus. Is, you know, there is a differentiation between the social sciences and then this, you know, the hard sciences, right? The STEM sciences. If you're on campus, you understand the Westridge versus lower campus, you know, debate, yeah. Right? And I had a conversation recently with some geoscience majors, briefly, of course. You didn't have much time to go in depth. I wish I could have. But, you know, what does it mean to be, how do you bridge this gap between these two things, these interdisciplinary possibilities? Maybe Dylan, you can back me up on this, but maybe to me, I think of it like archaeologists are like the ones who go out in the field more than the cultural anthropologists. Yet we do also, but you guys are more focused on the ground and the earth and the artifacts and the materials. And then we're focused on the people, but we're also focused on the artifacts that they use. So maybe we can clarify here today on the show, once and for all, what it truly means to be interdisciplinary, or how do we bridge this gap, right? I don't know if you guys have any thoughts on that.
Oh boy, I mean, I can try. I think you brought up a kind of a funny point, because I spent so much time on the Westridge, probably more so than the lower parts of campus, just because I'm so thick into the geoscience aspect of it. I don't really know how to bridge that gap. That's something I constantly ask myself, is how do we give credit to the social sciences as being a science? I always feel like I do so much science that sometimes I even forget that I'm dealing with people. Just because it is so entrenched in these, I feel like they're rigorous methods. I mean, we do hard science, we just do all of them. And that's why I think it's kind of also hard to make it less social science-y. I don't really know how to frame that. It's a really tough question. But I think being just rigorous in our methods, and to your point about archaeologists being in the field a lot and maybe more than cultural, I think it's just different fields. I know people who spend like 2 years in the field as cultural students, but I think the big difference is you're dealing with interviews mostly. And so it may not feel like you're in the field as much, because you guys have the comfort of sharing like drinks and coffee and having a conversation, where in the field, you're drinking your coffee as fast as you can, and then you're hiking out there and digging holes and trying to find stuff. It's a little more involved than that, sort of simplifying, but the field work's just different. But I don't know if it's necessarily any less. It's certainly different, though. I often do find it, the science is definitely different, and maybe more insight into the culture aspect, because to me, I can think of expense that I can put in archaeology questions. You kind of have a question, you set out an idea, then you set out like kind of like quote unquote your experiment, and then you get results, and then you write up about it. I mean, the cultural side, because it's living, that's so much harder for me to actually envision. I don't know how you go about that. I know you do have a question, then you answer that through your interviews, but how that's actually set up is such a foreign thing to me, because I'm an archaeologist, and I'm trying to learn and trying to grasp it, because it is so important to what we do. And we do interviews sometimes, but not nearly to the same extent, for sure. But to answer what is anthropology? The simplest I can put it is the human experience in every aspect that you can think of. Yeah.
I would certainly agree with your earlier point too about the fieldwork thing. Cause yeah, it's different types of fieldwork, but yeah, I don't think intensity or duration is necessarily all that different between archaeologists and cultural anthropologists. But I think really a lot of it boils down to with the interdisciplinary stuff, that the way archaeology is going to be interdisciplinary versus the way that cultural anthropology is going to be interdisciplinary is just going to look very different. And I would actually think that the ecological stuff would probably be where they would look the closest, just because we've spoken before with, you know, ethnobotany folks and stuff, right? And ethnomusicologists and stuff. And so in that sort of the ethno side of things, you start to see kind of where you're working with other folks as bridging that gap between cultural anthropology and something like musicology or botany. But I think with the environmental sciences, like with botany and that sort of stuff, and where you're talking to the people who are living on the land and asking them, you know, how do you use these things and how have they changed over time and that sort of stuff. You know, and then you're talking to the natural scientists who are studying the land. You know, I think in that maybe you see kind of the closest similarities in interdisciplinary work. You know, because I feel like maybe it's rather similar to the sorts of stuff that you're doing, but except that for you, you're all those questions are how was it, you know, 6,000 years ago, right? Whereas for the cultural, how was it changing over a time span, right? So from, you know, 10,000 to however many years ago, you know, to present or whatnot. Whereas for cultural anthropologists, it's a little more contemporary in the time span. But I think maybe in that, that would be my hypothesis maybe, is that that is where we come the closest in how the interdisciplinary work sort of seems to function.
Yeah, I think you hit it there, especially when you're talking about ethnobotany and bridging the cultural side with how people are using the plants and animals as well into the environmental side of things, and just being able to frame questions in that way is definitely where the interdisciplinary side of cultural comes from, and that stuff is so great because that then gives us information as archaeologists about things we might expect or to find, or it's great because we can see where things have gone or come to. We know what it is now, and so then it's sort of like reverse engineering in a way where you go back to see how it got to where it is today. That's what we try to do, and we just can't ask the questions that you're able to be like, oh, I found a seed and I think this is means it was the fall or the spring or and then you reconstruct it from that way. That's very simplified, but yeah, we have to deal with the tiny fossil data sets and it gets really tricky when the environment is totally different. You know, 10,000 years ago, it was vastly different than it is today. So it's, you have to get creative and stretching your mind and how it may have been. That's what I always think of. I laugh at myself. I'm like, you're stretching your mind to try and envision what it was like and what people did and how it looked like, because it just doesn't, it wasn't what it looks like today. That's so cool.
It is really cool though. Yeah. And I mean, at least though, to an extent with interviews, depending on the time scale, you can also ask though, you know, not just how has it been for you and everyone you know, but also like, what, you know, did your grandparents, did, you know, family ever talk about what it was like in the years before? But obviously that only gets you so far, and that the what you're interested in, living memory doesn't exactly carry as far back as one would need it to.
Yeah, that's a tricky one there. And I think a lot of that issue is there isn't as much work done with, from my experience, there's a lot of like the cultural side and the oral and bridging the oral traditions with the archaeology is something that we're getting better at and we're seeing more of it, but we're not there yet. And I think that when more work is done in the oral history and the environmental side of things, I think that could be really fascinating and interesting. And I hope more of that gets done. Because I think when you can match certain things with the oral history in archaeology, it's going to be really cool.
Absolutely, yeah. So I think it now would be a good time for a song break. And so, Audrey, you have sent over a nice little list of songs. So I was curious what you would like to start out with for our listeners today.
Gosh, I don't even remember which one I sent, which was the first one. I think I put it in order of preference.
Well, the first one you sent us was Famous Friends by Chris Young.
Yes, that's a good favorite right now.
You're listening to Speaking of Anthropology here on KSUA 91.5 FM Fairbanks. And that little song break here on the show were songs provided by our guest from today, Audra Darcy. So those were Famous Friends by Chris Young and then Minimum Wage and Happy Anywhere, both by Blake Shelton. So thank you for those wonderful recommendations, Audra. And if you wouldn't mind, I'm just kind of curious as to, you know, if you wouldn't mind telling the listener a little bit about why you landed on the songs that you did to play on the air for today.
I'm just a country fan. I've always liked country, and those are songs that have a good beat and usually make me dance around my room when I'm trying to focus on writing.
Fair enough then, yeah. So I wanted to circle back to something that you had mentioned right at the beginning of the show, and you had said that you had kind of always been interested in anthropology. And so I'm curious as to how in into archaeology. And so I'm curious as to how that kind of worked out for you. Is it just for as long as you can remember? Were you one of those kids who, you know, was really into like ancient Egypt or something? Like, what did that look like for you?
Oh, I was definitely one of those kids that was always interested in it and always in the dirt. So it started for me when I was about three and I saw Jurassic Park. So Jurassic Park is what got me interested in the natural sciences and prehistory, ancient history. It just, yeah, it made me interested in all of that. And then I was fascinated with archaeology when I started learning about ancient civilizations when I was in, I think it was middle school. And you go through Egypt, Greece, Rome, Mesopotamia, all of those ancient civilizations. So I was really interested in archaeology. And Egypt, I think, was what really fascinated me. And that's how I started digging more into archaeology. And then I actually remember when I was in high school, when I was taking biology and human anatomy, I started really getting interested in questions about evolution. And then I realized I was falling more into anthropology and understanding what makes us human and how do we answer those questions. And really, that's, I think, the biggest question us as anthropologists want to know is, what is it that makes us human? And there are many answers, I think, to that question. It really depends on your perspective. And then once I got to university, I went to the University of Maine for my undergrad. I was able to really dive deep into anthropology. I think that was the very first course I signed up for, Anthro 101. And then I knew it was a perfect match. And after my first year, I then joined the Climate Change Institute with the University of Maine. And that's where I really started getting into the geosciences. And that's where I started seeing how we could bridge environmental science and archaeology together. And that's where I really became interested in questions of environment and geology and geoarchaeology specifically. So that was my trajectory before UAF. And then when I got to UAF, it was just, I've always wanted to do this. And this is more specific. I want it in northern latitudes and really work on really geoarchaeology and environmental questions.
Yeah, it's, I think, you know, Audra, you and I can relate, and then Dylan can probably relate too, but the coming to Alaska story is also often asked quite a bit. You know, for me, it was undergrad coming straight from California, graduating from high school. And for you is an interest in northern latitudes and geoarchaeology. So maybe if you could maybe talk a little bit about your interest in geoarchaeology and how, maybe, you know, what class was it, which professor's lecture that was just like, this is it right here, geoarchaeology. I think you also did some previous research with environmental climate change related issues, and also research on hunter and gatherers. So maybe just talk a little bit about that.
Really
interesting to share with our listeners.
Yeah. So when I was at the Climate Change Institute in Maine, I was exposed to environmental climate around the world, actually. It was great. But I think the biggest influence was Dr. Brenda Hall's class in glacial geology. And that's where I really fell in love with glaciers and really landscape geomorphology. And through that course, not really through that course, but she presented an opportunity to undergraduate students to travel to Antarctica with her. And I applied for that and got that position. So actually, before I finished my undergrad, I was able to travel to Antarctica and do some climate change research, or I was her field assistant. And we collaborated with some people, with Dr. Paul Koch at the UC, from UC Santa Cruz. And I basically got to survey and hike the dry valleys of Antarctica. And that experience is what really sealed the deal for me to pursue graduate research, because I loved the field work. And I knew it was just the right fit. I wanted more of it. I wanted to keep doing it. And just the field work of being around glaciers and collecting environmental geologic samples. I have so many rocks from there that I keep in my basement that I look at sometimes. And that was really what made me interested in high latitudes, even though that was southern latitude. And that was a really cool project, because it was climate reconstruction, where we were surveying the dry valleys for seals, mummified seals, and we were sampling them for isotope analysis. And in a broad nutshell, different types of seals mean different types of sea ice, and that gives you an indication of what the climate was like and the stability of ice sheet dynamics down in Antarctica. And I was just in love after that.
Yeah, it seems very much like a pole-to-pole movement from East Coast to West Coast, North. Very interesting, definitely. And, you know, maybe I think a lot of our listeners and students, a lot of people who come to UAF are interested in doing work in these far reaches, such as Antarctica, getting on a expedition of sorts, and traveling far and wide. And that's something I think you've achieved it. So congrats, Audra, on that. I guess just to follow up a little bit more, what brought you here eventually to Alaska? Was there a specific topic that really was of interest to you? Personally for me, coming to Alaska was more of a curiosity and an adventure, this expedition feeling. We always make this joke on the show. It's the anthropologists become Indiana Jones of the Arctic or something. I don't know. That's something that we'll make fun of. But it's true. We really are. And likewise, being on this campus, the space that we're in and the places that we can go from Fairbanks is very easily accessible. Maybe what brought you here to Alaska from Maine, beyond Antarctica? I know that's a big one too.
Yeah, that was definitely a bucket list check. I think you hit it on the head as well. And, the expedition feeling, the opportunities are endless in Alaska. And it was a huge attractant, for sure. I definitely love being in Fairbanks and just traveling 2 hours to the mountains and you're in just this beautiful wilderness, and being able to work in that environment is really rewarding. It's my dream, at least. And I think it's a lot of most archaeologists who work in Alaska's dream. So I think that was one of the biggest things that brought me up to Alaska, was just that experience. And I had so many opportunities to do that through UAFs, and I'm really grateful for that. And I hope to continue working in Alaska. I plan to as I continue my studies. I would say the biggest draw was being able to work on questions relating to the first earliest colonizers in North America, and being able to join that academic discussion, I think, was the biggest draw. And what my interests are leaning towards now is actually diving into Ice Age megafaunal extinction. I think that's where my interests are starting to lie, and dealing with some of those controversial topics. I do like controversial topics. That's becoming a theme, I think.
Yeah, wow. You've been outlining so far for us some both big in the megafaunal, but also just, yeah, controversial topics. But I'm curious then as to kind of what's drawing you towards that, the megafaunal extinctions, right? Is it, you know, I mean, there's a whole big debate about it over the role between humans and ecology and those sorts of extinctions, right? And so are you interested in maybe throwing your hat in the ring with that debate, or is it just like the general question that puzzles you more so than like kind of the maybe drama a little bit around it? Like, what's been the pull there for you?
I don't know if it's the drama that actually scares me a little bit. But I think it's just so fascinating. I think the biggest draw, and I've had an opportunity when I was younger to go to La Brea Tar Pits in California. I've been there several times, and seeing a mammoth in person, a mammoth skeleton or a mammoth mummy, is just, it's humbling. I think that's the biggest draw, is the humble feeling that I get when I'm working on those types of questions. And just even with that material, I mean, if you've been up close and personal with a mammoth tusk or a mammoth skeleton, it is a really humbling experience. And I think my bucket list is to find a mammoth skeleton. I think that is definitely like one of the questions people always ask is like, what is like the best thing that you could find? And for me, I'm like, I really want to find a mammoth. I think that's definitely up there. And so getting into the controversial topics, I think you hit it with the ecology and the influence of humans. What is that relationship? And being interested in paleoecology, I really want to explore that. And that's not something I'm completely into right now. I hope it's something I go further into research for my PhD that I'm going to be doing, and diving into. A little reluctant to say about it at the moment, just because I'm about to start researching it. But I think it's just amazing to work in an area and a topic and trying to reconstruct a world that no longer exists today. I find that really cool. I think that's what I'm attracted to, is really trying to envision and being creative of how to explore the world that no longer exists, that's gone. And yeah.
Okay. I honestly feel like we should just play the Jurassic Park theme music now, but
no.
I think we have some other great music selections from you today, Audra. Yeah, I think we're on You Look Good by Lady Antebellum. I think that's the third one that's on the list. Would you like to tell our listeners why the song, maybe? How about what dance move do you do to the song? There you go.
Oh gosh, it usually involves just like shaking my hips, tapping my feet.
Perfect. Shake your hips and tap your feet here on KSUA 91.5 FM Fairbanks. This is Speaking Anthropology. My name is Kevin.
My name is Dylan. And we are in the last couple minutes of our show here with Audra Darcy, a master's student who's wrapping up her master's here at UAF. And so that's kind of my last question for you is, you just got to defend your thesis a couple weeks ago now, of course over Zoom, so maybe that was probably not the way that you had initially imagined it, but still, you know, you got to do the defense, and so congratulations on that. And I'm curious how that went for you, and kind of what that looked like for maybe the listeners who aren't fully familiar with what a master's thesis defense looks like.
Sure, and thank you. It was a long time coming. And it was definitely not how I envisioned. I certainly had imagined myself standing in the room in front of everyone giving that defense, but in the age of COVID, that's just not a reality. And it was over Zoom, and it was interesting. It went well. It went really well. For my thoughts, I think. I think a lot of people, I had a great feedback on it, and preparing for it was tough. It's definitely an intimidating process, but I think the important thing to remember for anyone who is doing a master's or who wants to pursue a master's is by the time that you get to a defense, you're nearly done. Your committee members will help you make sure you're in a good position to defend, that all of your work is done, it's sound, they agree with most of it, at least. And then you really are just put into a position to make sure that you are on track to be done. You've done most of the work, you've done almost all the work. And after your defense, you do your final edits of your thesis, and then you eventually submit that. And that process for me ended up taking a little bit longer than I had originally hoped. I thought that I would have been done in the spring, but I ended up taking a little bit longer. I added a few things to my thesis. And I think that's one thing about a master's that you have to remember. And I think anything in graduate school is to be flexible and adaptable, because even especially as we've learned with COVID, things are going to change. And even without COVID, I joke often that, oh, I'm on plan D of my thesis. I had to go through several different trials and errors of collecting data. I couldn't get a good data set initially. And then that's how I got to plan D, because I had to collect a sediment core. And then I eventually ended up working on something that was collected back in 2015, and it ended up being great. I love the record that I was able to work on. But you just have to be flexible and open that it's most likely not going to go 100% of the way that you think. And when I think the really fun and interesting thing is, as you start doing your research, you start asking more questions and things get added on or taken away. And so you really have to be adaptable to that. And that was what my process was like. And even preparing for the defense was like that, because you want to share everything, but there is not enough time to share all of that. So you have to be flexible with that.
Yeah, so flexibility and openness then to changing, yes, circumstances. All right. Yeah, and it's good to hear. As someone at the very beginning of my master's program, you know, the whole idea of the thesis and all that is still somewhat intimidating. So it's nice to hear a little bit about it.
Work in progress, as always, that's for sure.
Always.
As we end the show today, we have our final question that you answered earlier, but if you wouldn't mind just giving us the answer one more time, and maybe elaborate if you'd like. Dylan, I'll let you say it this time, since I'm always the one bring up the final question.
Yeah, so, it's your question. Away, Dylan. So, Audra, what is anthropology to you?
Anthropology to me, oh boy. I'm going to stick mostly with my previous answer, is that it's the human experience, and it's studying the human experience. And we sort of touched on it a little earlier of what does it mean to be human? And I think that's something that we're always striving for. And I think it's funny, and other anthropologists I've talked to have often said that we study anthropology because we are the people that don't know how to be human. And I find that to be somewhat true myself. And I like to think back and laugh on that, because I think that's really what we're trying to do, is just really understand what that range of human experience is.
The range of human experiences from Audra. Thank you so much again for joining us on the show today. To our listeners, we hope you had a great time learning a little bit about what it takes to do a thesis, to understand what environmental archaeology is and this interesting field of interdisciplinary studies. Dylan, did I miss anything? Anything else? Audra, did I miss any other notes?
No, just thanks for having me.
It's perfect. A pleasure.